What's up, folks? Welcome to Nino's Corner.tv. I am joined with Dale Comstock, former Delta Force operator. That's like, I guess you could say levels over SEALs or berets or things like that, right? It's kind of back in the past. I used to think that was like a myth. It was a secret. Nobody talked about it, but you're standing here before me today to tell me no, it was legit. That's what probably levels above that other stuff, correct?
Yeah, I don't know. I'll piss a lot of people off when I say
I know you
that,
are. Oh,
but there's a lot of steel fanboys out there that don't like that shit. But the reality is, Delta Force operator. No, you'll never hear of a Delta Force operator trying out for Navy SEALs, but Navy SEALs are trying to be Delta Force operators all the
yeah,
time. So there's a reason for
hey,
that.
dude. Hey, man. Props to you, bro. It's kind of like boxing, like there was amateurs, novice, and then pros, and then 10, top 20,
That's
same type
right.
of thing. So I wanted to bring you on, Dale, because you have a lot of expertise in this. And I think what we're seeing with the last few terrorist acts, the explosion, the Tesla vehicle explosion at the Trump Hotel, the New Orleans vehicle rundown of 15 people, New York City mass shooting. This is all three within the last couple of days. And the new year is just beginning, and we have the inauguration just 20 days away, or 19 days away, what, 18 days away, minus 18 days. And I'm under the belief that this is going to pick up in frequency and intensity as we get closer to the inauguration. And then I think Trump could inherit some massive type of terrorist attack. Do you agree with me?
Yeah, I'm totally on board with that. I agree. It's going to get worse. I jokingly say sometimes even Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder can see this coming, man. The borders have been so porous because this particular administration has allowed what's happened. Even though the two guys that we know that did the bombings or the attacks were homegrown terrorists, nonetheless, they're still terrorists. And the unfortunate part is, at least, well, both of them were military guys. Both were Army. One of them was, now it turns out, a Green Beret, and probably not a very good one because he did a shitty job on the car bomb. And from what I understand, he was probably a communications what we call an 18 Echo communication sergeant. But I think there's going to be a lot more of that. We know that, probably at least hundreds, maybe even thousands of potential terrorists, military age males, have crossed the border. From whether it's Chinese, Iranians, you name it. We know they're here, and the reason we know they're here is, I was actually told back in. The only reason I'm bringing this up now is because I've brought it up several times on the Alex Jones show and a few other shows. I was told back in March, April timeframe by the FBI, DOJ, that I have made it the top of Al Qaeda's hit list. I'm a priority target for them, and that they were actually looking for me in Florida. All right, so luckily I wasn't in the United States at the time. I live abroad, as you know, several different countries. I won't name exactly where I'm at, but they're out there. They're there, and they're in our country. And they actually asked me not to mention that little bit of information. Oh yeah, they're looking for you in our country. But I thought about it, I was like, well, why would I mention that? Oh yeah, because we probably don't want to embarrass or call out this particular administration for what they have allowed. So we've got terrorists in our country because this administration, the Biden administration, has allowed that, has encouraged that, and they've put us all in harm's way. So they are there. We know they're there. We know they're being arrested. Some of them are. We know there's a lot of sleeper cells in the U.S. now. And what we experienced in the last 48 hours is just the opening salvo of what we can expect for the future. They're not going to let up, and there's going to be different reasons we're going to see these terror attacks. One of the reasons, I think, one of the things we'll see is, Trump is, dead set on literally deporting all these, and I'm going to call them what they are. They're criminals. They crossed our border illegally. They broke the law. They are criminals. And so he's going to get rid of them. He wants to get them out. And so there's going to be a big effort to push him out. And I got a feeling what will happen is, yeah, a lot of these families that came over here with, good intentions will probably go willfully. However, You don't think that these cartel members, these terror groups, you think they're going to leave when we tell them to go? They're not. In fact, what they're probably going to do is push back violently, particularly against law enforcement and any of those that set out to detain and move these people out. There's going to be pushback. I think there's going to be conflicts in the streets of America, and I think that law enforcement, the military, and contractors that are engaged in removing these people are going to find themselves also targeted. And it's not just them, by the way. These two guys, the two car, the guys with the trucks. I mean, they use vehicles.
Same rental dealership and same and ties to Fort Bragg, right?
Yeah. Well, I think the guy in New Orleans was tied to I think Fort Hood, Texas, I believe, if I got that right. And the other guy, SF guy, the Green Beret, yeah, probably Bragg. But here's the scary part is I know that a lot of soldiers have drank the blue Kool-Aid, man. Literally, they have lost their freaking mind. They've been indoctrinated, inculcated into this mindset that somehow they've gone against. Look, and nobody's immune from it. It's literally brainwashing, and you've got now what would have normally been very conservative, patriotic men have suddenly become these left-wing liberal lunatics, and are now becoming homegrown terrorists. And I think we're going to see a lot more of that. I've seen it. I've seen Green Berets that have in SEALs and others that have become literally left-wing lunatics, and it's like, how is that even possible that you could have this mindset? Because it's so against what most of us in special operations believe. But I'm seeing a lot of that. I'm starting to see a lot more of that, and it's not because they got smart and they're woke and none of that stuff. It's just a form of brainwashing. And for whatever reason, man, they're the guy from Santa in New Orleans. Okay, he's an ISIS convert.
Well,
He's
he had
you
a
know he's
flag in his car. I mean, to me, that just seems like a plant.
yeah
I mean,
yeah
come on.
he's exactly, man. So you know what, I'm not gonna say he's just a crazy freaking American and lost his mind. He was literally indoctrinated by ISIS. He's a part of that terror organization. The Green Beret, that knucklehead. My guess is he was probably a shitty Green Beret. Probably just joined this Green Berets, made it through just to get the rank and the tab to say you could wear the Green Beret. Because, by the way, there's a lot of guys that do that. There's a lot of guys that they don't go to special forces because they actually believe in the mission. They just go there for the training and for the promotion, and that's it. I've met them, and it's sad, but it's true. They're still at the end of the day. They're not superhumans. A lot of them are just they've taken advantage of their military service. But in regards to for example, let's start with the New Orleans attacker. That was obviously planned. He knew when to bring that vehicle in, from what I understand. I've been to Bourbon Street quite a few times. I do know that they barricade the roads off early in the evening. And there's no vehicle traffic allowed in that street. But it sounds like this guy knew that around 3:15 p.m. or a.m. they would lower the barriers and remove them, and the roads would open. And that's when he took advantage of it. He went screaming down the road in a pickup truck, ran a bunch of people over. They're probably still drunk and hanging out, and did what he did. Definitely planned. Definitely an ISIS radicalized ISIS. Terrorist. The guy in Las Vegas, I just think he was a homegrown terrorist. Yeah, just a Trump hater, Elon Musk hater, and it's just a left-wing
Well,
lunatic is what he.
I dare to say that it was a warning shot. Using a Tesla, an Elon Musk vehicle, pulling it in front of the Trump Tower on New Year's Day, blowing it up.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that was like, hey, that's mafia style, cartel style type fear mongering, or a warning sign to Trump is what I get. I'm gonna read something
Yeah.
here real quick to you that Trump put on his Truth Post, Truth Social post, and it says, with Biden open border policy, I said many times during rallies and elsewhere that radical Islamic terrorism and other forms of violent crime will become so bad in America that it will
Yeah.
become hard to even imagine or believe. The time has come. Only worse than ever imagined. Joe Biden is the worst president in the history of America, a complete and total disaster. What he and his group of election interfering thugs have done to our country will not soon be forgotten. So Trump has even said that with 100% certainty, there will be terrorist attacks, a big one on in America. So I'm under, I believe, you know, I'm here on the border, and I lived through the whole Juarez, see that Juarez cartel wars, man, and they were bad. They even made a movie about it, Sicario, with Benicio del Toro, and it was ugly there, man. I can't imagine that happening in the States, but I kind of feel like it's already happening, just spread out. And I think it's going to happen with more intensity, more frequency, to make it to where, from my understanding, they want to introduce lockdowns again, keep people in fear, hunkered down, kind of just like what happened in 2020. Are you under the agreement? Do you see the same thing happening, or them trying to happen?
I'll see. Yeah, there's definitely gonna be more attacks. I mean, like I said, you know, I said over and over, Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder saw this coming a long time ago. I've called it years and years ago. It's a matter of time, but here we are. We have allowed it, we nothing. Joe Biden and his ilk have allowed and intentionally invited in these terrorist organizations, include the cartels. They are here to stay. They're not gonna leave. And so, you know, America in that respect will be very much like, remember when Ireland and England, you know, when they were in a terrorist, you know, conflict they had at those times, France, and we look at Europe, it's come to America, and it was done intentionally by the left. And I hope that Trump, when he, you know, when he finally takes office, instead of this time just kind of over, you know, just letting everything go, I hope this time he actually, you know, puts people in prison, starting with Joe Biden and his ilk, right on the chain of command. Mayorkas, Kamala Harris, everybody that's culpable needs to be in some way held in account, and in the most severe way, because I feel like it's treasonous what they've done, and they've risked not just the lives of, you know, Republicans, but even Democrats. This is, you know, when that driver went down the street in New Orleans, he wasn't looking for conservatives, MAGA guys to run over anybody. It didn't matter if you were left or right. Nor the, you know, Trump guy, when he, you know, by the way, that truck didn't blow up. That was not a VBID, vehicle borne improvised explosive device. You know, it's the first time I've ever seen that. I've got quite a bit of experience with explosives. You know, as you mentioned, you know, I was a Delta Force operator. I was also a breacher, an explosives expert. I was a Green Beret, and I work a lot with explosives. I've used explosives. I've made car bombs, like real ones, and it's the first time I've ever seen anybody use an electric vehicle and try to make it into a bomb, which, by the way, was not a bomb. He put fireworks in the back. He put various types of fuels in the back. All you're going to get out of that scenario was what he got was essentially an incendiary device, and got a thermal effect. He didn't get any fragmentation or spalling. And the driver, it was all for naught, right? So he got no bang out of the buck other than, you know, you're going to
Right.
maybe raise some, you know, raise some eyebrows. But that's why I kind of said it was a shitty car bomb if that's what he was doing. And but we're going to see more of that. And it's here to
A lot
stay for
more
very long time.
on the article. You seen it?
I
Boom,
see.
there.
Yep, I see. Yep, right there with you. Yeah, there it is. Yeah.
I mean, that looked pretty devastating, but it didn't hurt. I guess it went off at the wrong time, but I guess they were expecting a lot more damage from that, because I mean, it driver, right?
Yeah.
And then injured a few other people on the outside, but I mean, it was early in the morning, nobody was out there, and it looked to me like it kind of missed its target, correct?
Yeah. Although you see a fireball and everything, it had a thermal. What we call a thermal effect, but you really didn't get a, you didn't really get any direct blast pressure off of it, you know, the shattered windows or anything like that. There's no very limited, if any, real spalling or missiles coming off of the, you know, fragmentation. So, you know, you got a big fireball, and but that's about it. You know, it, I mean, it could have been the. It would have been more effective if he just used his vehicle and drove down the road and ran people over with it like the other guy did, right? So I don't know what was going on there, other than he's just trying to make a statement at his you know, the risk of it, you know, risking his own life or sacrificing his own life.
Life.
But I wouldn't call it a bomb. I would call it more of an incendiary device and more of a psyops campaign. He's trying to scare people, you know, scare Trump and Elon Musk. But and that's what terrorism is, by the way. You know, to be a to have a successful terrorist operation, you don't have people. You just have to scare a lot of people. You know, if you're in person, you can scare 1,000 people, right? And or more. You know, and that's the goal for behind terrorism is to, if you will, persuade other people to act a certain way or respond a certain way
Well,
in of your objectives.
I would imagine that a lot less people are going to buy fucking Tesla vehicles now, and I would imagine a lot less people are going to stay at the Trump Tower because you know it's going to have some kind of collateral damage.
Yeah, well, and not only that, you're right. And people will probably look at every Tesla they see and think if it's possible, you know, a possible car bomb or something, you know.
Yeah.
And it's psychological is what it is. And to your point earlier about, you know, well, will this somehow invoke some type of scenario or martial law? I will argue they might try, but that ain't gonna happen. You know, they blew. You know, at the end of the day, nobody's down again. I don't think that's gonna happen. And they might try, but I don't think it's gonna happen. But I do expect that there's gonna be more incidents. They may get worse. Yeah, all I can tell people is, you know, buckle up, hold on your hat, and put out your cigarette because it's gonna be a hell of a ride here pretty soon. And
I agree.
yeah.
Let me ask you this, Neil. The mass deportations, obviously, I believe, and a lot of other people believe along with me, you one of them, that the cartels are going to fight back. These people that came here are going to fight back. Does that mean Trump is going to have deploy the military on the streets or have special operations running on both sides of the border to take out the cartels? How would you being a Delta Force operator, how do you see this going down from your expertise level?
I think what's going to happen, this is my opinion, there's just not enough law enforcement or even National Guard to, you know, if we're talking, and I'm just kind of guessing, 20 million criminals across the border, right? That's a lot of people. Can they all be deported? Probably not, but probably a good majority can. I think what he's going to have to do is call on private military contractors and companies to also help support this effort. In other words, you know, I can see him going out and reaching out to, you know, various, you know, whether it's Triple Canopy or Blackwater, you name your security company, any mom and pop security shop, and go, listen, you know, for every person you were able to arrest and we detain, that's $1,000 on their head or $2,000 per person. You know, I can see them, you know, deputizing a lot of people, a lot of PMC companies and paramilitary contractors. So they can also do this because really what if you want to look at it like this, we've been invaded by, you know, a foreign, you know, let's call them, you know, we won't have to call them enemies, but some of them are enemies and some of them are criminals, but there's a threat to our country and it's
National
time for,
security, 100%. We know they're not all. I've seen them jump the fence. I know what I've seen. Dude, they jump the fence with an athletic ability that would make Olympians jealous. Like, I'm not kidding. They're almost like, I'm not kidding, bro. What I've seen, like, it's unbelievable. And they stop. They land on their feet. They look around. They go through the traffic. And I mean, these dudes are incredibly, insanely athletic, and they're military age men.
And there's gonna so there's gonna be right, and you know the cartel guys aren't leaving. We've got Iranians, we've got Chinese. You know, we probably got every flavor of bad guy out there in our country. Some of these guys are organized. They were sent here intentionally. We've got sleeper cells in our country now, and it's gonna take. Yeah, it's going to take the military, National Guard, law enforcement, FBI. There's going to be a lot of resources that are going to have to be you know, engaged in this thing to get these guys out. For example, all right, if we're going to deport 20 million people, we got to one, positively identify them as being here illegal, right? That's going to require some intel sources to validate that. confirm all those things, and then we've got to go out and arrest them, hopefully peacefully. But I doubt this can be peaceful. And then we've got to detain them, and then we've got to figure out, okay, how are we getting them out of this country, right? And
What
so,
about the people that are aiding and abetting them? What about the I've also heard, now this is what I've heard, even the lawyers, the immigration lawyers that are trying to protect them, they're under what's coming, they could even go to jail for this, correct? That's what I'm hearing.
I'm all on board with that. I mean, if anybody's aiding and abetting, these criminal organizations and these terrorist organizations, then you've just put yourself in that same category as far as I'm concerned. And hell, you need to go to prison or go to jail for it. That's a form of it's a form of insurrection. And for sure, it's a word I'm looking for. It's you betray the country, you betray the Constitution, you betray the American people, and you're helping. I mean, what we've already had happen so far, by these criminals coming across the border, people getting robbed. Our country's going to hell in a handbag. And if you're a facilitator or an enabler, i.e. a lawyer or a mayor or anybody else that's given these people refuge or shelter or passage, you should be held accountable in the most severe way. That's the way I see it. There's got to be consequences this time. When Trump told me to throw you in jail and you didn't do anything, I was a little disappointed, honestly. I think he should have just crushed your nuts, right? Because at the end of, yeah, both of them, right? And so,
Wait, crush his nuts.
I mean, there should have been consequences, man. People should know that. Listen, in the future, if you try to harm our country, harm our people and our children, there's going to be severe consequences. That's the only way it can be done. So, when the left goes, oh, he's going to, put it in camps. Well, I'm like, you know what? Maybe we should just go ahead and do that. If you're going to accuse him of doing it, let's just go ahead and do it, and let's start the purge now. I'm down with that, but. Yeah, I think times are going to be different moving forward. Remember, when the IRA and the British, going at it. I think we can expect something like that.
So you see some type of like guerrilla warfare happening on our streets, civil unrest, violence, violent crime, and I kind of I feel like they're all going to be activated around the same time, starting a couple of days ago. I think it's game on.
Oh yeah, you're right, and I just kind of said this back in November before the election. I was on the Alex Jones show, and I brought that up. I said before, after the turn of the year, the run up to the inauguration, you're going to start seeing. In fact, I predict, and I still predict that they're going to target his family for sure. They're going to go after Trump's family. If they can't get Trump, what's the best way to get to him and get in his head and get his family? And I've been saying that, and it's a matter of time. I think they're going to take a run at them as well. But I knew this was going to happen. Just wasn't sure just how it was going to happen. I think this is it. I think you're right. We're going to see a lot more of this. You're going to see a lot of, if you will, unconventional warfare, guerrilla warfare in the street. You're going to see, A lot of you're gonna see law enforcement targeted, I think, a lot. National Guard, paramilitary guys are gonna get targeted. That's actually very common here in Southeast Asia. The terrorists go after the police, particularly because the police in where I live, I'm not gonna mention where I live because I actually have an active threat against me, and I don't need the bad guys to know exactly where I'm at any one time. But I know that they do target the police here. Almost exclusively, they blow them up, they shoot them because it's the police here that have the role of conducting counter-terrorist operations. So they're targeting them. They're not targeting necessarily the civilian population. And why would you, right? Because if you want to win the hearts and minds of the civilians, you don't want to kill civilians because now you're turning everybody against you. You just want to go after the.
They're doing that though.
Yeah. Well, they're doing it, right? But I think eventually, I think what you're going to see is more, especially when the deportations start. I think you're going to see a lot more attacks on law enforcement and the military, and National Guard. I think more so than civilians. You don't gain a lot by taking out civilians. You just make more enemies, is what you do.
So the war really is just beginning.
Yeah, I think so too. I think so too, man. For sure, it's coming. It's here.
Do you think that maybe they can cause an event to have all the police show up in one area and then boom, get them all there,
Yeah,
kind of like rat trap them?
that's actually how it normally works. So they did apparently find some IEDs Not sure, I don't think they went off, but they found some IEDs in New Orleans. So that operation was not just a Singleton operation. It was a team operation. Apparently, there's four other potential or suspects. They did find other IEDs. And so my thinking is that might have been the mission was, starts wreak some havoc, drawing all the first responders, bringing the cops, and then set off secondary and tertiary IDs and get them out. That's kind of SOP now. So anytime, and anybody listening out there, if you ever happen to be in a situation where a bomb goes off or a mass shooting goes off, be very careful about going in there and trying to assist. I'm not saying don't help, but be very vigilant because usually there's going to be a secondary ID or a secondary attack mechanism, maybe an active shooter or something like that, or a sniper that's going to wait till everybody comes together and they think, okay, the event's over, let's help everybody. And then boom, the second charge
Boom.
goes off. Yeah.
Do you see planes going down again? Do you see travel being disrupted? Everyone's traveling right now. It seems like there was just a string of attacks late, just recently. I would expect probably this is going to be really picking up in frequency and intensity these next few days going into inauguration to give Trump a big shit sandwich he has to take a bite out of and then inherit some kind of civil unrest or war.
Yeah.
Thoughts.
Well, you know what I think could happen is I don't know about the airplane option. I think that's been played out already. It'd be a little bit more difficult to do, although it's not impossible. By the way, the TSA, sorry, but it's not that effective. It's good, it's a good show for, the ignorant, the naive people go, oh, look, we got great security at the airport. There's a lot of ways to introduce terrorists and bad guys and explosives into an aircraft without actually having to go through a TSA checkpoint. And the airports are very porous and,
Yeah, they're not going to use some guy with a duffel bag going through the TSA lines. They're going to use some
no.
mechanic or yeah, like this, you know.
Yeah, there's other ways, right? But I think, I can think of a lot, and I'm not going to mention it here on the air what I would do, but there's some very simple ways to literally create mass casualty events with very minimal effort, man. It's scary what's possible. And I think these things have already happened to some degree or another. It's just the government has denied that there's an affiliation with terrorists when these things happen. And I'm talking about certain kind of accidents, but I think. Yeah, I think you can see, for example, I don't know, let's just say, what if, I don't know, let's just, what if a train was derailed, roaring through a city, right? At 80 miles an hour. Very simple to do, very easy to do. So easy, it'd blow your mind to derail a train. And so, that's just one example. And just imagine if you could stop all the trains now from traveling. Now you've affected logistics, passenger travel, you scared the
Supply
hell out of
chain.
them. Right. There's a lot of things there, there's a lot of ways to conduct a terrorist operation that doesn't involve a car or even a bomb or even a weapon. There's other ways of doing it,
Well, obviously,
and
vehicles. Vehicles have been used this last time.
yeah, vehicles are good, man. I mean, that's old hat. What are we gonna do? What are we gonna do? Ban vehicles, right? So, and they're
Yeah,
pretty
two
good.
vehicles are used. One to run over a lot of people and then one to explode. I mean, boom, two right there. Two vehicles used in the last
Yeah.
two. And so.
Yeah. No, you're right. And who knows, man? They're pretty creative. And the problem with mitigating these threats is the bad guys are always 1 to 2 steps ahead of the good guys, right? We're always reacting to, oh my God, they just did this. Well, now we need to do that. Well, they already well they're While we're mitigating the last threat, they've already figured out a new way to do something, right? So we're always a couple of steps behind. The way
Well,
to effectively stop terrorism is to be able to anticipate what's the next paradigm, what are they going to do next, and then build up or shore up your security to prevent that from happening. And,
so I've heard that through the administration that a lot of the immigrants have been traced and tracked. So when Trump gets ready to do the mass deportations, that they've kind of got a web of contacts and they kind of know what's going down. Would you see that being a Delta Force operator? Would you think that is realistic? That's probably, I mean, I don't think he's going to go into this blind and just start let's just start going door to door and taking people out. I mean, you're just that's a recipe for chaos. But don't you
Yeah.
think there has to be a web of intricacies to where he will find and seek out certain heads of groups or organizers, take them out, and then the rest fall?
I don't think so, man. It's too many,
Really?
too. Yeah, and if you know, this is why I said earlier, if you're gonna, I think he's gonna have to, if you will, deputize paramilitary companies. He's gonna need help from civilians to do this, right? But in order to go out and you know, to round up people, you've got to have good intelligence, right? So you're going to have a good intelligence network, and you're going to have to be able to positively identify who the guys are that you want, right? So okay, we've PID'd certain people. We know these, you know, it's going to take work. This is going to take a huge effort. You're going to need an intelligence arm to locate and vet, you know, these targets, and then you're going to have to basically send in the action arm to go actually do the deed. Then you're talking about detainment and transportation. This is going to be a huge effort. Now, it's going to be very prosperous for everybody that gets involved in this, especially if they put a bounty on some of these on these people's heads. People are going to want to cash in, right? But it's also going to get very ugly, very dangerous, and very lethal, because people are going to resist. People are going to make mistakes. Some of the wrong people are going to get rolled up. Some people are going to push back because they are good guys, and they are here legally. You know, there's going to be a lot of confusion. So the intel arm has got to be really good, and that's going to take, I think, a while to develop, right? And then there's going to be, well, who's going to, you know, now we're talking about enforcement of laws, and who gets that right to do that? Are we going to give that right to civilians? Are we going to deputize civilians and PMCs? Are we going to integrate them with marshals and other LEAs and LEOs to help guide these companies and others in the execution phase? It's going to get complicated. I think there's going to be a lot of legal issues that are going to come out of this thing, a lot of lawsuits. I think a lot of death, a lot of injuries, going in both directions. It's just going to be, I think it could be very chaotic, but we have to ask ourselves a question. Are we going to do something about it? Or are we just going to let it, ignore it, and live with what damage has been done, which I don't think is, it's not going to subside. The cartel, you're right, they're here to stay. This is a boon for them. They're making lots of money. You know, the
It's a whole
fentanyl
bunch for them,
situation.
man. I mean, this
Yeah.
is huge for them.
And
So,
for the Chinese, you know, the Chinese are, they're fighting us right now. This is World War III, and they're winning. They're using drugs to kill us, you know. And it's going to just keep getting worse, man. So we
so
have to
one of
ask
the main
too.
objectives I would imagine, and I'm sure you agree with this, is to make Trump's presidency, his coming incoming presidency, a complete travesty, a complete failure,
Yeah,
tragic.
of course.
Civil war on the streets. I mean, that's probably the next plan X, Y, and Z for them. Now that they lost the election, they're like, hey man, let's make this the worst presidency ever.
Yeah, no, agreed. I know that's for sure. They're going to do that. They're going to make it look really bad. They're going to try their best to ramp, just destroy everything this man does, and they're going to try to make their comeback again. We got to remember, the Democratic Party is no longer a Democratic Party. It's
Right.
literally, they're the enemy within, and they've got to be stopped at all costs. And we can't let Trump fail. And this is what they've done right now by bringing in allowing all these people to come in. They're going to create a lot of chaos for us. And to answer your question about, you know, the unit, Delta Force, SEALs, others running operations in the United States, you know, that's easy. I mean, they wave, you know, all they have to do is wave posse comitatus, and that can be done. But the problem is, look, these units aren't that big. Delta is very small, very small. You know, and so they're going to be committed in other places. And the other thing is sending them, saying, okay, we're going to run ops in Mexico to go after the cartels. Well, I think that would raise a lot of questions as well. But like, all right, we're going to go into our neighboring country, and we're going to kill basically some of their citizens, right? Because we think they're bad guys. And so how are the Mexicans going to respond, especially that new that new bimbo, whoever her name is, that's, I don't even think she's Mexican, right? She's the president. She's pushing back all kinds of bullshit. Are we going to go to war with the Mexican army, which, by the way, wouldn't be much of a war, but nonetheless, we're still going to, get resistance for them, I would assume. So I don't think that's going to be easy either, but I would agree that, we should go in there and take out the cartel. They are the enemy. They're not just drug dealers. They are the enemy. How well, but we've got limited capability when it comes to our military. That's why I think that they're going to have to recruit paramilitary companies to do this. You're going to need all hands on deck, and there's a lot of paramilitary guys out there and contractors looking for a job. And they're ready to go do this. So we've got the numbers. It's just a matter of,
How we
will he?
execute it.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said,
Well, Dale.
and money wise, there's definitely going to be some incentive there. And I mean, damn, I could see this. If I don't even know what the numbers are anymore. I mean, I've heard everything from 15 to 30 million. People have come across this border.
And
I'm
they're
sure a
still
lot.
coming right now. They're still
Yeah.
coming right now. They have
Yeah.
not been detoured, I'm hearing. I'm hearing you would think that there would be a stop and they would say, look, obviously Trump's coming in. He's gonna lay down the law, but that's not what's happening. They're coming in like gangbusters right now.
Yeah. And they know that. And so do you think they're going to leave willingly? No, it's going to require force. And yeah, you're going to, like you said, man, the streets of America are going to get really ugly for a very long time, man. It's going to look like, Ireland and Britain, you're going to see a lot of terrorism. And I might be wrong, man. They might target a lot of civilians too,
I think that's what they're going to do because they're going to make this presidency the worst ever. They're going to
Yeah.
try to.
Yeah.
So
But
I think, this is not going to be, this is not going to be peaceful by any means. I think this is the beginning of war. Dale,
no.
I just, go ahead. Go ahead. I was going
Yeah, no, like I
to,
said,
you agree.
we're in alignment with everything that you just said, man. And I think there's going to be more than there's go we're gonna there's gonna be more going on than we know, we can expect, I mean, think about this, man. And I've been thinking about this for years. Fentanyl. You know how dangerous fentanyl is, man. I mean, you get that on your skin, it'll put you right into cardiac arrest, man. I used to carry Narcan when I was working out in California, doing security work. Cops gave me Narcan because you touch the wrong guy, or he touches you with fentanyl, you're down. I mean, there's so many things you can do with fentanyl. In fact, I know for a fact there's been a couple of
Put it in the water.
well, the water. I mean, imagine this. Go to a. There's been a couple concerts right now where people have stampeded, people have died, and there was one in particular where a security officer said somebody jabbed him in the neck with what he thought was a needle, and he went down. And then another one down, another one down, another one down. All you got to do is touch somebody. Imagine if you had you took some fentanyl, you mixed it with a little cream, and you put it on a watch. You walk by somebody, you rub their arm with a watch, and boom, they fall over. The next guy falls over, the guy next falls over. You put it on doorknobs, door handles. There's so much shit you can do with fentanyl, and it's dangerous. And people wouldn't even know what's happening. It's like, oh, you had a heart attack. No, actually, he went down because of fentanyl. But by the time you figure that out, you got five more casualties on your hand. It's really dangerous stuff, man. And people need to stop being so damn naive, and need to stand up because we're all at risk. There's enough fentanyl right now to kill every American 10 times,
That's
and
scary.
it's 30 times more potent than heroin. And I mean, that's a weapon, and we know for a fact, I happen to have personal knowledge of this, because some things I'm doing, that the Chinese are actually, they're bringing all the admixtures and the fentanyl, they're bringing it into the cartels, and they're pumping it through the cartels in the United States deliberately. They're deliberately poisoning Americans. We're in war. We're already at war. And so it's not a bunch of,
It's not
kids
tanks
out
and bombs and missiles. It's fentanyl.
there.
It's
Yeah,
yeah, it's
exactly. It's a different, we're, I think the term, the proper term for it is, we're in Gen 5 warfare, right? Generation warfare is where it's at. It doesn't have to have missiles and bombs, although we're going to see that. It's literally information warfare, psychological operations is what we're seeing. And even what you'll see with these terrorist organizations, for example, I can see Bourbon Street probably going to be dead for a while. Nobody's going to want to go to Bourbon Street anymore, be another, become another casualty, like in Bali, right? When the Bali bombers hit Ligon Road, down in Kuta, they went in to, here's how they set it up. And this is a pretty good template, and a lot of people will use this, is they send a bomber into, and in fact, my wife and I used to frequent the same bar all the time, a bomber with a backpack. He detonated the bar, the backpack at the bar with him, both people inside, caused panic. Everybody ran on the street. There was a car bomb on the street. Now, according to, the reporting, there was 100 and roughly 75 pounds of explosive in the van, which I call total bullshit. Based on the damage, I've got all the pictures and video. I would argue it's probably 1,000 pounds of probably some type of fuel oil mixture. And because everything was incinerated and everything caught on fire, but basically everybody ran on the street, mass panic. And once everybody was on the street, that secondary ID went off in that car bomb. And in total, I think 206 people were killed. Indonesians, Australians, expats, a lot of people died in that incident. And by the way, that killed business and tourism in Bali for a very long time. They had to do a lot of work to reinstate confidence in people and get the tourists to come back, go, it's safe,
So
honest,
there's so many objectives here to just to destroy the economy.
Well, that's a
Same
big one.
objective. I mean, this would instill people to stay home, not go near any malls, shopping centers, anything like that. I mean, seriously, that's what they're doing.
Well, that you
Kill
said
the
it. You
business
said
of America.
a mall, for example. A mall is a great target. It's a soft target, man. It's so, you go in and do a lot of damage to a lot of people. You're right. Scare them away from the malls, right? Get them off the roads. Get them off the. Keep them out of the subways, right? So there's so many things you can do to, if you will, disrupt our, our society and our way of living, just through fear alone, because that's all terrorism. Really, the main mission for terrorism is to literally persuade, if you will, people to behave or do, or governments to do something in alignment with the terrorist objectives. And it doesn't mean you millions and millions of people. All you person is scared thousands of people. It's like, oh shit, and that's what it takes. And so I think we should expect a lot more of that. And I think American people, this is why we've got the Second Amendment, man. I think people need to arm themselves. I think people need to be
You see
ready
that? You
to.
see that's going to happen? Like, do you see like citizens taking the law into their own hands and getting ready to prosecute? Because there's going to be a lack of police, I would imagine.
I think so too, because well, the problem is cops just, they're reactive, right? They show up and do the police reports after the fact. Who's going to protect us? It's going to be you. It's us. We have to protect ourselves. And if you're walking down Bourbon Street and you see a dude hauling ass down the road with a pickup truck running people over and he's got a gun, are you going to wait for the police or are you going to take your weapon out and you're going to return fire, right? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get in the fight right now and try to stop this madness. And that's what it's going to take. So, I don't know, man. I got a feeling the future is going to be really, really scary, for a lot of people. And, you're right,
It's about to get crazy for sure. I know that. I think that we're in for a hell of a ride, man. A hell of a ride.
And you know what? And we got, who we can blame for that? Well, we can blame half the country because they voted for these monkeys that are running this country right now. And they did this on purpose. They allowed this to happen. They intentionally allowed it to happen. And there's no doubt about it. I mean, anybody with one light brain cell can see what's going on here and what has happened. So,
This is a globalist plot to take down America. That's what this is.
that too, right? We've been betrayed from within, from our own government, and from half the people in our country. They've betrayed us because they've allowed this. And you're right. There is a globalist agenda. And you're right. I think that they do want to see us go down. Everybody thinks that, there was a time when people loved Americans. And take it from me, I lived, traveled to, or worked in over 101 countries. Man, I travel all the time abroad. I'm all over the planet, and I've got a pretty good sense of what people think about Americans. And it's not all good. And honestly, they would love to see us go down. And they'd love to fill that vacuum once we're done. And and they're getting pretty good at it. The world's kind of collectively starting to align itself against us. Although with Trump coming in office, I also notice a lot of people kind of taking a step back, going, "Okay, we're going to play with you now." But a lot of people out there don't want to see us survive.
Publicly, seemingly, but really behind the scenes, they're plotting to take this guy out,
Yeah, they
take
don't
down
want
the
us.
drug.
Yeah, they would love to see us go down, man. And
I mean, think about who he has, RFK. He's going against Big Pharma. He has Elon Musk, Big Tech. I mean, they're going to
yeah.
monop. I mean, this is a massive threat against the globalist agenda, man. The green energy, all
Yeah.
of it that they have trillions of dollars, if not billions, if not trillions of dollars invested in. This goes against all of it, man. I mean, he's playing chicken with the globalist elite right now, and actually, the Americans are being held hostage. But honestly, we have no choice in this, because if we go the other route, which is the globalist route, we're done anyway. It's
Yeah.
to our demise.
We're done, man. You're right. And honestly, man, I was before the election, I was sitting on the fence if I wanted to come back to the United States or not, because I do live abroad. I do have a home in America as well. But I do have, I live abroad in different places. And I thought if Trump doesn't win, America's done. I'm never going to come back, and I'm going to just sell my shit and never, there won't be America to go back to, as we know it. But thank goodness he did win. And so it's kind of reinstilled my confidence. And I feel like enough Americans, I've had enough as well. So I think we're going to stand up. I think, America's going to stand tall. We're going to push back. And I think the world will. And here's another a good sign. A lot of my friends, my foreign friends, a lot of expats that, British, Australians, you name it, man, Asians, Chinese, are actually very happy that Trump won. And these were the same people that 4 years ago would talk all kinds of smack about Trump, and I actually cut these people off, man. I was like, I don't want you in my life, because we're not the same. And
Right,
these same
right.
people call me back, going, man, I'm so glad, because they saw the writing on the wall. They knew if Trump went down, America goes down, everybody goes down. And now they're now like, oh God, hope this guy wins, because we're talking about things like, if they go with, digital currency, and that becomes, they get rid of the fiat, the dollar, and now we're stuck with digital currency. That's the ball and chain they get you with. Once you're subjected to just paying for everything in digital currency, they can track everything you can do. They control everything you do, your movements, et cetera. Our lives will never be the same. And we dodged a serious bullet just now, a serious bullet on this last election. And I think we have a chance. I think there's enough spirit in most Americans to fight and push back at any cost, and keep America great, and hopefully save the Republic, man, and save our freedom, because we were really close to losing all of that. Then
But it's
not just
going to be
us,
the fight.
the rest of
We're
the
in
world,
for the
man.
fight now. All
Yeah,
it
just.
meant, all that was the bell ringing. At least we're not dead. We're in the fight now. You know,
Yeah.
that's, we have the high ground, right?
Yeah, I agree. And we just can't. And the cool thing about Trump, man, is the guy's got some balls, man. And he'll lead the charge, man. And he's not gonna freaking, threaten him with a red line and watch him cross and then not do anything. He's actually gonna do shit,
Yeah.
and he's got a lot of Americans, me included, behind him. And honestly, I'll fight and die for that man. I swear to God, I will do it. You know what? Not because I'm this Trump fanatic. It's I understand what he represents and what he represents for my family and my children and future generations. This guy, he by his position, has the ability to literally save our freedom. And so I am willing to go to any length to make sure that man stays alive and that he can, he can meet his objective and secure our country. I'm willing to get back in the fight, to do this. I'd be happy to come back and round up criminals. I'd be happy to come back to tell members right in the damn face all day long, man. There's plenty out there like me, So, call on me. I'll
Man,
come.
you're a man after my own heart, bro.
I mean, I'm never too old to fight. I'll tell you that right now. And I'll do it for my family. I'll do it for your family. I'll do it for like-minded Americans. I will come back and fight. And here's the sad part. So before November, my son here, he's Indonesian. He wanted to join the U.S. military, and I said, "No, not no, but hell no." I said, "Why would you join this regime right now, right? What are you fighting for? You'd be fighting for socialism and communism and all this bullshit." I said, "No way." I said, "But now if Trump wins, that's a different story. We'll have a real army again, and we'll get rid of all that woke crap, But so I've come out and said this loud many times, on, like I said, Alex Jones, for example. I've come out and I've told Americans, "Hey man, don't fight for this country. Don't join this military. If you're gonna fight for your neighbors, for your family, for like-minded Americans when you have to. But don't put a uniform on and go abroad to go fight somebody. We're done with that shit, right? So it's time
Yeah,
to
go
take
fight for
care of
Ukraine,
yourself."
right? Go fight for Ukraine. Go fight for Israel.
Right now we need to fight for
It's
ourselves is what we need to
right,
do.
and the war is coming to our doorstep.
Yeah, it's
It's
here.
here. The enemies are within the gates. They're
Yeah,
here or behind the gates.
it's here. Well, I can tell you something else, on another note real quick, that if Trump decides to use the tier one assets, the units, SEAL Team Six, Delta, to go after the cartel members, they're going to get their ass handed to them. Not the SEALs, but the cartel is going to get their ass handed to them. They're good. They got a lot of shit, and they got a lot. They got top-notch equipment. They got good intel. They got good. They're their own little military, but they're going up against the wrong guys, man. These guys are going to eat their goddamn lunch, man, all day long. I'd love to see that too, but it's got to stop, man. It's got to stop. This drug bullshit's got to stop, man. Too many young
Yeah.
people have died. Some people are dying. Cops are dying because of this. Yeah,
Yeah,
we
I
got to
mean, the
stand.
Chinese are funding the cartels to make this fucking fentanyl. And now there's even more, I don't know the exact name of it, but there's now more, even more dangerous drugs coming through that are like 10 times to 100 times more toxic and potent than fentanyl. Do you know about this? I forgot the name. I was reading up on it. And we have a buddy that works at a drug rehabilitation center, a recovery addict center, and he knows all about this. He gets the numbers and stuff. They're seeing a new drug coming through now that's killing people like that Narcan doesn't even work on.
See, yeah, that's why we gotta, all Americans need to stand up and become part of the resistance, so to speak, and
See,
you
they
need
knew
past.
that we are living in a drug culture, and they know that Americans like to party. Drugs, and now anything could be laced with it. I mean, someone could just smoke a joint and have that crap laced with fentanyl or whatever that's in there, and you die, or you take Molly because we are living in an EDC, drug culture, rave parties. The youth now to pop Xanax, pack pop Adderall, pop this, pop Molly, pop whatever. And so, if you could just lace those items or those drugs, they're dead. You're killing our youth.
And the sad part is, the war on drugs never worked anyways. It never was meant to work, right? It was just another way to, employ a lot of people, put a lot of people in jail, make a lot of money, but the war on drug didn't work. It didn't work. And honestly, this war probably is not gonna work either, man. It's just gonna be too big, too huge, and the if everybody in America would just pull together and put politics aside, go, you know what, as a collective, all of us agree we need to stop these people. We need to get them out of our country and secure our borders. If we could do that and work together, we might be successful. But the problem is, not only are the good guys going to have to fight the cartels and everybody's came across the border, the good guys are going to have to fight other Americans that are opposed to this stuff, right? They're going to
Yeah.
push back and resist,
The
like these
woke,
bears.
the woke.
Yeah, like these mayors, right? Newsom, and we're not going to allow the ICE to come in and do this, and we're going to hide. These people are,
Enemies of the country.
yeah, man, and they need to be dealt with very harshly, And I mean, I'm all look. I'd even be willing to say, let's go vigilante on these people. What the hell, if the government can't do it, enough Americans get together and we take these guys out. It's time that American civilians take our country back. If the government is not going to work for us, then let's get rid of these dudes, like Gavin Newsom and all these other liberal jackasses that are making all these stupid rules and are protecting all these terrorists. We need to take them out. We need to take care of them, get rid of them. They've got to go, And if the government's not going to do it, let the civilians do it. That's why we have the Second Amendment, right? That's the reason we have it. That's exactly the reason we have it. We don't have it to go hunting. We have it to stop a
Right.
tyrannical government. That's exactly what
We
we got right
need weapons that match the government's actually. That's really
Well,
what it was about. You're not supposed to have anything under the government is not so really, if you really want to really look into it, you're supposed to have equal firepower to the government, but I ain't going around flying fucking F-16s and shit. So
Hey, you know what's funny is, Joe Biden came out one time and he said, your AR-15 can't stop an F-15,
right,
right? And
that's what he said, yeah.
everybody was like, yeah, that's right. So turn in your AR-15s, right? Here's what they don't get, right? And I said this on Alex Jones not too long ago. I intentionally got on there and said this because I wanted everybody to hear it. And I used that example. I said, at the end of the day, I don't need an AR-15 to stop an F-15. I don't even need an AR-15 to stop a pilot. All I need, maybe a hand to stop that pilot's family. You get it? It's asymmetrical warfare, right? See, everybody's thinking, okay, soldiers fight soldiers. No, when my soldiers are dropping bombs on my family in my town, okay, then there are no more rules left, and that's when I go after your family and I take care of them, okay, in a very bad way. That's how you fight asymmetrical warfare. So this is what people don't understand. When you look at the war, like with the Russians and the Mujahideens, these are dudes running around in shower shoes and AK-47s, hand the Russian army their ass, right? And by the way, they did it to the Americans and to NATO. They did, right? We was why did it took us 20 years and we still didn't win the damn war. And guess who won? They won, and they got $83 billion worth of equipment. And now we're actually paying Taliban millions and millions of dollars every month, giving them money on top of that. Who won this fight? They did again, right? Dudes, literally primitive dudes in flip-flops and AK-47s are winning war, right? It's unconventional warfare, and so that's the same thing in the United States. And I said this, I pointed out that there's millions of veterans in our country. And how long are you going to get pushed on, stepped on, shit on, not get your VA disability and the things that you have coming to you? Why don't what at what point do we all start leaning forward in the foxhole again, rearm ourselves and go, you know what, we're not going to take it anymore. And there's nothing the U.S. military can do to stop veterans. There's just not. There's just we're going to win and fight the wars in the shadows. Now, I'm
What are
not
the
saying do that.
rates of death with veterans? I mean, veterans are dying off pretty quick, drug overdoses.
Supposedly
I
22 a
mean,
day. Yeah,
what is it?
22 a day. They say it's 22 a day, but and I don't know if that's true or not. They say that maybe it is. Why? You're right. Probably because I know guys. Literally, I know Delta op of drug overdoses with their families, like dunce themselves. But there's a lot of other reasons for stuff like that. It's not just because they're having
Let
PTSD,
me
et
ask you
cetera.
this, man. You're obviously Delta Force doesn't get any higher than that. What do these guys struggle with, dude? Like when they come back, and this could probably be for a segment, another show, but can you just briefly touch on like I have PTSD, okay? And I was a fighter my whole life. I started boxing when I was 5 years old, and I was handed, you box a little bit yourself. Like I was in the high rankings, top 10, top 5 in the world, and I was, dude, I have fucking PTSD from that. Fighting the biggest baddest dudes on the planet, and then also getting a knife shoved in my face. I got cut open, my neck slit open coming out of a bar, and I have PTSD. What do these guys, and when people ask me what does PTSD feel like, well, I say it's like having lightning in your bones. I'm never comfortable. I'm always panicking. I have like I'm always on guard. I'm always fucking freaking out on shit. Is that what they go through? I mean, is and how come they can't adjust to regular society? I have a hard time adjusting. I've thought of doing bad things to myself many times, but do these guys just come back and they're broke and they're on the street and they're suffering like such massive PTSD, they just decide to take themselves out? Like, what is it, bro? Like, what is it? Like they take the drugs to hide the pain, to mask the pain. What is it?
Yeah, I think it's actually several factors. So one is you're right. A lot of guys just can't cope with what they've seen in combat, right? Now, there's a lot of guys that are in that boat. It's just the horror of war, and it just wears on them, and they can't shake it. There's other guys, and I'll use myself as an example. I mean, I've literally as a war fighter, I was been in every conflict from Grenada to Mogadishu, to Desert Shield, Desert Storm, Panama, right now Iraq, Afghanistan, Yemen. I can go on and on and on. And I've seen a lot of combat. I've got well over 500 combat missions under my belt. And for me, I am one, I have I'm rated 100% PTSD. I'm I have a 100% disability, right? And a lot of it is because of PTSD, but it's not because of the horror of war, like, oh my God, I almost died. The PTSD that I suffer from, if you want to, I guess we call that suffering, is what I have difficulty coping with, is not because I almost got killed or I had to kill a dude. It's because I watched, for example, I remember being on the streets of Tikrit with, I got a kid in my arm, he's 2 years old, and he reminds me of my little boy screaming, hollering, crying, and I got a weapon in the other hand, and we're going in and dunking his parents, his dad, for being an IED maker, and this kid's freaking scared. And that's the kind of shit that you think about, because you see your own children in these scenarios. The women screaming, in horror in their homes as we come in and, we're blasting the place, and the kids screaming and seeing death and seeing dead children and dead women. When you see that type of stuff, I mean, I'll open a spit here. I kid, I didn't mean to, but, these guys were my men. I put up a booby trap, to stop some sappers coming in, and just some dad sent his kid up to go collect unexploded ordnance and brass to make some money, and the kid walked right through one of my booby, and so those are the kind of things you have to live with, because then you go, well, damn, was it really necessary to have these booby traps there? And I'm thinking about, but my soldiers were dying and they also have children, and I got to protect my soldiers and and indirectly their children, but I didn't expect to kill somebody else's kid, who had it, stupidly send his kids up there. So I cope with that kind of stuff. It's the innocent people that got hurt that wears on me. Not because of my hands, but just because I witnessed that, because I can relate it to my own family, right? I can just imagine my family being in a situation.
What about seeing your own friends die?
Sorry, what was
What
that?
about seeing your own friends die? Like, how did that affect you?
You know what? You know what? You know what? It doesn't. And I'll tell you why. Because watching my friends are dying is actually, we didn't celebrate their dying, but we celebrated their life and the fact that they died doing what they love to do, right? Because we all, and see, that's the other thing is, I enjoyed going to combat. I enjoyed doing what I do. I enjoyed fighting, just like boxing, right? We don't go boxing because we're scared. We enjoy the fight, right? So we go in
The
there with a,
adrenaline, the rush, the fucking, yeah.
yeah, we go in there confidently, right? We don't go in there fighting out of fear. And so it's the same thing with, like, for example, the unit. We're not fighting out of fear. We're fighting because not because we have this bloodlust either. It's because we have a purpose, right? We know our purpose in life. Our
And you're
purpose is
trained.
to, and we're trained, right? And so we go in there. So the guys that are suffering from PTSD, it's one is probably something, it's not because they almost died that they're freaking out, because they have already accepted that. We don't have PTSD because we thought we were going to get killed. We have PTSD because we looked at the collateral damage, the innocent people that were getting hurt, and we looked at how the enemy were hurting innocent people,
So it's the haunting. It's the haunting. And it's probably the jolts to your nervous system of adrenaline that you can't shake.
Well, and there's one more factor that people probably never think about. Okay, and again, it's not all everybody in the military, but certain organizations. There's a thing called operator syndrome, right? So when we talk about operator syndrome, it's not just it's not Delta Force operators, nothing like that. It could actually be cops, firemen, EMT, emergency room doctors, right? When you live every day of your life. And you get a very high dopamine level, right? A high adrenaline rush every day, and it's literally like every day you're on a drug, and then,
Yeah,
and
man.
you do this over and over and over, and all of a sudden it's over, right? You're not doing it no more. It's like, okay, where's my fix, right? It's become a kind of an addiction. And so a lot of guys, when they leave combat, or leave the military, or law enforcement or whatever they're doing, suddenly like, I need to fill this gap I have. I need to get this dopamine fix again. Where do I get it? And so they turn to other risky behavior, right? Drugs, alcohol, or maybe get involved in other things that are that are definitely risky and puts them at harm's way, or they don't find anything and then they become so depressed. Right. So, there's a lot of, it's not, you can't always say it's just one thing. We just fixed this one thing, it's done. It's a myriad of factors, right, that affects people, some more than
You're
others.
100%. I mean, I'm dealing with it my own way, man. From
Right.
retiring from heavyweight boxing, I'm a
Right.
the dopamine dumps and serotonin and adrenaline that I was living off of for fucking over a decade is gone.
Right. Exactly. They call it allostatic load, right? And
And
every day.
nothing thrills me anymore. Nothing really. I don't really get. I mean, I do my podcast. They're okay, but I mean, like, nothing gets me going like it used to, bro. I've just been numbed.
See,
Numb, numb.
and what usually ends up happening, like in my case, right? I mean, all I know is the military. I was born into the military with my family. I was a lot of time in the military, and suddenly I'm in the civilian world, and which is was kind of tough to adapt to it, because I hate to say it, the civilian culture is not like the military culture, and suddenly it's going from a place that, believe it or not, you feel safe and secure, even though it's the military. All of a sudden, you're cast out here in the civilian world, where it's not safe, secure, and there's a lot of lunatics out here, and just things aren't operating like in the military. It's more chaotic out here. Suddenly, you find yourself trying to adapt and blend in, and then you try to find that adrenaline dump, that we talked about, that dopamine fix, and you end up looking for, alternative sources. I do, but I've decided to take my, to get my fix from being creative. In other words, I have several companies. My wife and I just opened up a restaurant bar, another one, and so I get my fix by creating new projects, right? And that keeps my attention for a little while. And to be honest with you, I still go out and I do the deed, man. When people call and they need some help, I do a lot of private work. People have issues and they need me to come fix it for them. They pay me a lot of money. I go fix these problems, and that's kind of how I get a fix, right? So it's like going back to taking a drink from
So
the well every now
your dirty deeds done dirt cheap.
and then. Yeah. But it's a matter of time before I fall in that well and never get back out. I know that. And but in the meantime, it kind of, every now and then I get a little dopamine fix, and I come back to reality and get to do my other stuff, live a normal life. And then every now and then I get that itch, and then somebody calls and I'm like, I'm in, and then off I go. It's just part of, now I don't know if it's part of my DNA, but it's part of my programming. And we all need it, especially guys that live in a high allostatic, have lived a high allostatic load all their lives. It's a hard thing to shake, and if you don't do it, you get depressed. I know guys have gotten very depressed, or they get involved in risky behavior. They start drinking and drugs, and they're not the same people they were in the military, because they just can't cope anymore. And like I said, it's not just
This
special
happens to
forces.
fighters too, though, man. I have a lot of friends that were professional champions. I mean, world champions that are now broke and dead. They're dead. They're dead. And they're most of them are dead, or they're on their way out, bro. They're strung out on the street. I heard of a fighter that's just walking the street barefoot, barefoot, walking the street barefoot on meth and on other shit. And he can't. He was a champion fighter, and now he's just a druggie.
That's what happens, right? It's that dopamine, man. Some of us have a very high, we got used to very high levels of dopamine, and then we keep looking for more and more and more, because dopamine starts, we become desensitized to it, right? So we need that another fix, a little bit better one, right? So we do more risky behavior, more risky behavior, more risky behavior, until the job is over, the career is over, and you're sitting outside in the civilian world going, okay, now what do I do to get a fix, So yeah, there's a lot of PTSD for a lot of different reasons. You can't neck it down to just one thing, I don't think. Everybody has their reasons for it. I don't know what everybody's reasons are, but I know what mine are, and it had nothing to do with being, afraid of dying. In fact, I've never been really afraid of dying. I know that sounds dumb, because I've heard guys go, if you're not afraid, you're a fool, right? That's what keeps you alive. Well, actually, I'm so confident in what I do, I don't have to be afraid. I go to combat because I know what I'm doing, so I'm not
Can I just say
fearful.
something to that? Can I say something to that? Because I was always terrified before every fight. Every fight I got into, up until I was 36 and 0, I was terrified to fight. The two times I was not scared anymore. The two times that I was like, "These guys are bums, I'm gonna walk right over them." I got knocked the fuck out because I was fucking not scared anymore.
Yeah.
That, you know, so I think fear keeps you sharp.
Well, there's three, so I do a lot of performance coaching, right? Online coaching, life coaching, if you will. I look at it like this. There's three types of men, right? There's the fearless guy who's too stupid to realize he's in trouble, but he does it anyways, right? The second guy is the courageous guy. Now, the courageous guy, he's in trouble and he knows he's in trouble, but in spite of being in trouble and knowing he's in trouble, he acts anyways, even if he doesn't know what he's doing. At least he does something, right? That's better than just standing there in the X, like a deer in a headlight. And the third guy is the guy that's the confident guy, which I like to think of myself as. I've gotten so good at what I've done in this, in the art of war, so to speak, that when I go in, I don't have a problem fight. I don't fight out of fear. I fight out of confidence because I'm controlling the situation, not letting it control me. I have no problem going through a door first with bad guys on either side. And I've done it before. I said, guys, I'll take the point, kick that door and let me go because I know I'm level-headed. I'm controlling the situation, and I just feel like, like you said, I'm gonna walk in and just knock them out, And so now I'm still here. So I didn't get knocked out yet, but maybe I never will, hopefully. But I think it's different, right? So there's maybe different levels of, fear. Yeah, I've got a, let me kind of go back and walk that back a little bit. Yes, I'm very confident, but I'm also understand that I'm not invincible. So I have to be more careful with everything I do, but that's not because of fear. It's just because of self-preservation. I'm very careful about what I do, and I keep my head on the swivel, and I make sure that I don't unnecessarily expose myself to harm. And I think that's comes from, like you said earlier, from training and experience allows me to do that, right? There's only been two times in combat that I've ever like been, oh shit. And the one time that really resonates the most with me is I was driving. It was in Iraq. Went up along the Tigris River. I was driving a thin-skinned Land Cruiser, me and another guy in it, 5-speed V8. It was actually two vehicles. We just went somewhere. It was a total of five of us, three guys in a vehicle in front of us. Their vehicle was actually armored G-Wagon. And me and the other guy were in a thin-skinned in the back, and we're freaking cruising along. It's a beautiful sunny day in Iraq. It's still Iraq, but it was really easy getting to this law to lull into this sense of complacency. Like, wow, what a beautiful Sunday drive. We're cruising along here. You got date palms everywhere, the Tigris River, and we're rolling along through this agricultural area. And then all of a sudden, all hell broke loose. I got ambushed. They shot the shit out of my freaking car. I mean, freaking rounds coming through the window, and it was just, for a moment there, it was like I had no idea where the hell I was at or what was going on because I lost my
Your bearings.
situation. Yeah, I let my guard down. I got too, I
That's what
mean,
happened to me.
yeah,
This.
figuratively driving, figuratively sleeping at the wheel, so to speak, and I remember I reacted because I knew how to react. So as soon as it happened, I reacted. And got off the X, got down the road about another mile with my car, was able to limp it to a stop, car was damaged, tires were blown out and everything, and windows were gone. And I was standing there just kind of like really still. I wasn't shaking, but I was really rattled about that. And I was really upset because I let my own guard down, not because I was mad because they got the jump on me because I let my guard down. Normally that never happens. I'm always ready. But today was just sunny day,
Caught
beautiful
slipping.
cruise. And
So it's like
bam.
if you stay long enough in the game leaves you.
Yeah.
That I've always said that to people, and I can only explain this through boxing is that you stay in the game long enough that you either leave the game or the game leaves you, man. And that's just the
Yeah.
truth. I don't give a shit who you are. I
That's
watch it
true.
with those fighters all the time, man. They stay in too long, and the next thing you know, they're that punch drunk fucking idiot. That's still got one
Yeah.
good fight left in them, and then they just look pathetic, and it
Yeah.
happens, bro. I don't give a shit who you are, man. You especially if you're used to winning, and you fucking win,
Yeah.
and that's what you know how to do. You will get caught slipping at some point. And I did, Dale.
Yeah.
I would say thank you. I got to get rolling, but man, you are an
My
amazing
pleasure.
podcast, brother. You did not fail to just bring it, bring the heat, bro. You're awesome, man. So. You're
Appreciate
welcome
it.
anytime on the podcast as this continues. You know, I know that this is going to get kind of crazy, so I would love to have your commentary
Yeah.
whenever you could provide it.
Anytime, man. Anytime. Actually, that's what happened earlier. I had this one podcast I've been on it probably 50 times. They're like, hey, we got to talk about this thing that happened. I was like, all right, let's do this. And then you call and I was like, all right, well, let's do your two, right? So I've done two podcasts back to back right now. And it's oh yeah, it's only 4:20 in the morning here. And I gotta get up in 3 hours and keep doing
You're good
this.
to get your rest, Dale.
Yeah,
Thank you, my man.
no
I'm
worries.
gonna I don't know if I'm gonna try to put parts of this on YouTube and then on Rumble and on Nino's Corner.tv.
All right, brother. Appreciate it. Thank
All
you.
right.
Have a good one.